Welcome to the Building BN podcast, where we take an inside look at Bloomington Normal economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners. Hosted by your BN EDC. Okay, so before we get started with all of our podcasts, we'd like to get the background, basically how you guys ended up in Bloomington Normal. So whoever wants to start, tell us, who you are and how in the heck you got here.
Well, I guess I'll start because I've been here a little bit longer. And so, like so many others, we came here for John to finish going to college at ISU. And the ironic thing is he didn't finish at ISU. He finished at Western Online. But here we are, still here 30 years later. So I've been here ever since. We just settled down, had a family, and decided it was a great place to live.
It is a great place to live. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Evanston, up north Chicago. And he's from St. Louis, so it was kind of equal distance between the two families and worked out really well.
How's that work out with sports teams?
For professional sports teams, we are a little house divided when it comes to baseball. We're both Bears fans.
Nice. So you suffer with me. Yeah. So hopefully we got
exactly.
How about you, Megan?
So I came here indirectly. My parents moved here in, I think, 98.
Okay.
And that was when the Outlet Mall was still an Outlet Mall, now Crossroads Center. But so my dad came here for the Outlet Mall. I was actually gone and out of the house at that time. I was in college. I was out doing my life. And then I took a track to a vocational school out in Seattle. And when I made it back here and I was working in the area, I met my husband. And so I stayed. And we left and we traveled a lot. We were in like Delaware, New York, overseas for a while, Alabama. And then he was given an opportunity to come back to central Illinois. And so he was working at Braidwood Nuclear Station. And I said I would only move to Illinois if I could live in Bloomington Normal.
Nice.
So
that's a good catchphrase there.
Yeah, so so it's good. My parents are here, and at the time, my younger sibling was here. So
okay. So that's it's a commonality, especially the coming here for school or coming here for work, and then actually, getting people to settle down and get married. I always joke with the Chamber of Commerce while we're doing these marketing campaigns. I'm like, we need to have events where we can get people to get married, because then we know they're going to stick around.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've always had that ranking on and off about one of the best places to raise a family, and it's true. So besides that, besides being the house divided on the sports teams, like, what is a unique personal fact about yourself?
So actually, that's something that we do together, which is backpacking. We're avid backpackers. Actually, I stepped off a plane in Madrid in my 20s with a backpack on and no idea where I was going to stay that night. So that started my backpacking career. Nowadays, it's mostly trails that we do. We've done Michigan and Alabama, Arizona, New Mexico. And then last summer, we did a coast-to-coast England trail. The second half of that was about 100 miles, which was great.
I was
going to
say, like, what's the longest one that you've done?
So far, that's the longest one that we've done.
Yeah. That's going to be a pretty heavy backpack.
Machu Picchu is on my bucket list for in the next year or two.
Okay.
And, there's a Superior hiking trail up near, in Minnesota, up near Duluth that I'd love to do. But, I've got a pretty long bucket list when it comes to hiking.
I think that's definitely a first on a podcast for people that, for a unique fact, but that's definitely unique. I'm walking, but not 100 miles.
Wait till you hear Megan's. I'm pretty sure you'll have a first on a unique fact here.
Good transition.
Yeah. So I graduated school early, and I went to college at 16. And then about the time I was 18, I was taking a scuba diving class as my PE course. Kind of fell in love with it, joined the scuba club, went to Key Largo for Christmas break, and decided I was not going back to college. I was going to become a professional scuba dive master. It didn't quite work out that way. Instead, I ended up in Seattle, Washington, and I got a vocational certificate in underwater welding and underwater construction. And so I worked as an underwater construction worker, welder, whatever you want to call it at the time, for a couple years, and that's actually where I met my husband at the nuclear power plant.
Okay.
I was diving in the nuclear power plants.
Diving in the nuclear power plant. So yeah, I know your husband, because in the future, so yeah, he's got a really unique job too, but that's almost more unique than his. But yeah, you're definitely...
He was actually the project manager for the dive project,
okay.
And they had had a near fatality in like November, and I showed up on the project in January, and at that time, you know, I was 20 or 21 years old, and I showed up, and he assumed when he saw my name on the roster, I was going to look a little different than what I showed up looking like.
Sure.
And so he felt like I was going to be a distraction to the job, and apparently I was, because he asked me to marry him like 2 months later. So, yeah.
That's a very unique personal fact. for your company now, though, Axis 360 Commercial Real Estate Specialist, how did you guys make the transition into, I guess, all of real estate?
Yeah.
Especially from underwater welding.
I know. That's a transition.
That's
honestly
a big transition.
You know, and I was a music business major, and I walked into Coldwell Banker at the time. I thought it was a bank. I didn't know I didn't know anything about real estate. I was in my 20s. I was the commercial manager there at the time, Greg Yant, was looking for an assistant. And so I started as an assistant, and within by the end of the year, I had my real estate license.
Nice.
And it just grew from there. I've always done commercial real estate. That was 27 years ago. And there's always something to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I worked for Greg for many, many years, and then I kind of transitioned and outgrew that. And so I went off on my own, and we decided to team as a team. We hired an assistant. And so we worked together many years as a team. And then I'll go ahead and let Megan give her background in real estate, and then we'll talk about how we got from there to
here,
where we are today.
Yeah, so with the diving, I dove for a little while. I met my husband. I actually, once we got married, I stopped diving. It was a traveling type of job. So we were here in Lexington, actually, is where we were living. And I came to ISU to finish my degree in construction management. And I did work for a while. You know, we traveled. We lived in a lot of different states. And my father moved here when he moved here in 98 with Outlet Mall. Once that mall was sold off, he was looking for that transitional job. And so he started with Coldwell about the same time. I think that Laura, maybe a year later after
mm-hmm.
Laura had started. So he ended up at Coldwell Banker commercial as well. And then all the years, right? All the years of me just being around the business. And, you know, before he was in commercial real estate, he was an outlet factory outlet manager, vice president of leasing, and things like that. So it's always been a part of my life. I've already always been around it. And so when we moved back to Bloomington and my children were both fully in school, my dad said, all right, it's time. And that's how I ended up. So that was about, that was 9 years ago, 2014.
Okay.
And so again, I also, like Laura, never sold houses. I've always been in commercial real estate.
Nice.
And kind of mentored by my dad during those last, 9 years. And then about 6 years ago, Larry Hunman, who owned the local Coldwell Banker and Coldwell Banker commercial franchise, sold to a large company.
Okay.
And they were on a very large economic, growth trajectory of their own, and mergers and acquisitions. And I believe we were somewhere around office number 35 when they purchased us. And I think last year when we left, they were at office number 73.
Oh, wow.
And so they had over 2,000 agents, and 99% of those agents, maybe 99.9% of those agents, were residential agents.
Sure.
And so we just kept getting a smaller and smaller portion of the pie. And we felt like we were a distraction to their core business. And we were always just fighting the paperwork trail nightmare that didn't flow with what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And they, it wasn't fair to them, and it wasn't fair to us.
Sure.
And so,
we looked around too, and, Megan and I are in our middle years, let's put it that way.
Yep.
And some of these folks that we're working with in the commercial department are quite a bit older. Like they're closing in on retirement and
mm-hmm.
should be. And so for there to be some incentive for us to take the time to train somebody in commercial real estate, we need to be an owner
right.
to have that incentive to do that. So we looked around and we said, you know, we think we can do this on our own, and we can do commercial. This is what we know. Let us stay in our lane and do our thing and just lose the distractions.
Sure.
So we opened our own commercial real estate company, Axis 360. And people ask us, you know, where did you come up with the name? And we went through so many words. We had the thesaurus out and we're like, what about this? And there was somebody else that had that name, or there was another one in Texas with something close, or the domain name wasn't available. Mm-hmm. And finally we narrowed in on Axis 360, and we thought, you know, we are that center axis. And we do all kinds of commercial real estate, the 360, and it kind of rotates around us. Commercial real estate in this town rotates around Axis 360.
Yeah.
So, and the domain was available.
Yeah, that always helps.
So, yeah, and we were off and running. And so in January of this year, we launched our new company. And we have seven brokers who are strictly commercial. That's all we do. And so... The folks from Coble Banker Commercial have come and joined us and supported us, and we had just today actually added a brand new agent.
Nice.
And so our long-term goals are growth, but very intentional growth. This is not a job that is for everybody. It's the long game.
Yes.
It's really long.
Yeah.
Things take a long time. It's a lot of patience and a lot of knowledge, just getting to learn the market. It takes every bit of 5 years to know the market well enough to actually produce something when it comes to commercial real estate. So mm-hmm.
while you're trying to keep up with the trends that are going on, you mm-hmm. know, regionally, statewide, and nationally
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just about our market. There is so much more that touches our lives regionally, especially, and at the state level, mm-hmm. from the state level too. And we have leads that come in from all over the world. So
yeah, no, it's a good time to be in commercial real estate around here. Maybe not all of the offerings, because I know office can be a challenge sometimes.
Yeah.
Retail, I think, would be pretty hot right now, since the latest numbers from Rivian finally are being counted in the BLS, which we've had, I can't remember how many, like, high density residential developers are now calling, like, hey, what's going on down there? Because it pops on these firms, and they're like, well, why is this indicator highlighting? And I'm like, well, they just jumped from 3,000 to 9,000 in the listing. So that's whenever people are looking at the actual employees in this area to see that spike, it just, the data was so lagging. And so now people are like, oh, well, if that's happening, so I can see commercial following the residential once the residents do get here. And yeah, as far as like you guys revolving around you, yeah, you drive around town. Those signs are everywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, fun fact about your husband. I think he's the one that.
The husband's a lot, especially Megan's husband. I'll tell you what, putting up 70 some odd signs February, you know, and they're not yard signs. They're 4x4s and 4x8s and banners. And that was a big challenge.
Yeah, it seemed like overnight, like all the sites went from blue signs to, you know, the green and the purple signs. So it's definitely
yeah,
took
you
over.
Know what? We owe our designer a real shout out to for the colors and for the logo. And, you know, she kept presenting things, and we were like, oh, I don't know. And she had to talk us off the ledge a couple of times. You know, but you want to pick colors that you like, that you'd wear.
Yeah.
It's not about what you would wear. It's really about.
Yep.
So, you know, Melanie Shellado was our graphic designer here, and here locally. And I think she did a terrific job. People have really noticed our logo.
Well, you don't want to be in a situation where, you walk in thinking it's a bank, you know,
because right.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you think about a lot of the bank logos
exactly.
there's a lot of blue involved. And so you guys definitely stand
out.
So I guess, what are some of the trends that you guys have seen either regionally or statewide, or, you know, even, I mean, it's 360, so you guys do offer a lot of different properties around here.
Yeah,
we do. And so to your point, commercial has always followed residential about 6 to 9 months. You've always got that trailing happening. And that, you know, Bloomington has always been a very insulated market.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily see the highs like the coastal markets, and we don't really see the lows. Even during the 08 recession, we didn't see that low that the rest of the nation had to deal with. And so we've been very lucky with the financial and the agriculture and the education and the manufacturing markets. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the pillars, and so people outside of Bloomington Normal recognize that. And when we're at national or regional conventions, they know Bloomington Normal.
Nice.
And they want to develop here in Bloomington Normal. Obviously, they all want to be along Veterans Parkway if they're retailers or restaurants.
There's a traffic.
And you know,
and they want direct access. They don't want, they want to go on a frontage road.
They don't seem to understand that aspect of our community. So that, there's a little bit of education there. But so, you know, obviously, the trends are, we know industrial right now, Rivian, but not just Rivian. You know, during the pandemic, there was a lot of winners in that arena, and a lot of that was the contractors and the home builders and the all the subs. And so we saw a lot of growth and absorption of the industrial market, not just by Rivian contractors or Rivian themselves, but by a lot of those other ancillary builder type contractors and trades. And so we have very little inventory in industrial. It's a little expensive to build industrial spec-wise, and so it's hard to fulfill those needs right now that we're still seeing. We do still see a lot of demand in the industrial market. As you said, retail is actually strong. If you kind of take away the albatross of Eastland Mall out of the equation, and I think you do have to remove that from the equation because it is in talks right now for redevelopment, and so we can't, they won't go in and lease out those vacant spaces right now. And so that has to kind of be removed from the market. When you remove that from the market, our retail market actually is quite healthy. We had some longstanding vacancies at like Lakewood Plaza, the Hy-Vee Center at Clearwater and Veterans, and we are 100% full now. You know, we brought in X-Golf, and Hallmark moved out of the mall to come into that center. Sally Beauty relocated, and Mega Replay came back to the market. You know, we've seen some of those centers with some growth. The Bloomington Commons, you know, with the redevelopment with Texas Roadhouse coming in and Joann Fabrics moving and relocating. And there, a lot of what we do is the relocations. It's right sizing, it's downsizing, it's upsizing, it's getting better positioning in the market. So retail is strong. Restaurants are always strong in this community.
I don't know if we cook at home or like
I think so.
I'm pretty sure we don't.
For a lot of years running, we were the number one in Restaurant Magazine. We were one of the top
community.
And it's I think only slowing down now because there's not a lot of opportunity. The restaurant market is hard for mom and pops to do from a ground up or a vanilla box. They really need that second generation space. And so they need the grease traps, the hoods, the three compartment sinks, the plumbing that's already existing. And so the absorption on second generation spaces is usually immediate. And so that's tough for people wanting to break into that business right now because we don't have any inventory there either.
Yeah, well, and especially when you consider size range, there's been a shift for restaurants, and a lot of restaurants that operated at that 5,000 to 7,500 square foot range have kind of redefined their business model, and they're looking for 2,500 square feet. So if you have 5,000 or 7,500
with a drive through,
So if you have 5,000, it might not be quite so active as far as interest, but if you have 2,500, you're probably looking at multiple offers on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wonder if that's like a ripple effect from the pandemic, because it was the bigger sit downs that got hurt compared to the fast casuals where you can go
it
in
was,
and out.
Yeah. I think it was already happening.
Okay,
that trend was already happening. The ghost kitchens were already in the works before the pandemic. You know, we already were seeing more demand for the drive-throughs and the carryouts. You know, the DoorDashes, those were already there. It definitely
sped it up.
It did. It definitely sped things up. And so we'd had that Biagi's, the former Biagi's building, for sale for several years, right? And it sat because it was 9,000 square feet.
Right.
We had the former Hibachi Grill that X-Golf went into. It was also 9,000 square feet. I mean, those are large restaurants. And that is a really hard thing to operate out of, cost-wise, overhead, you know, staffing. And so we were already seeing that happening. And now it's just, I think, all the QSRs are more, that's what's happening. That's where the, you know, the growth is. That's where the QSRs, the quick service restaurants or the fast food restaurants or, but the fine dining isn't, it isn't there anymore.
Not everybody can do the, you know, Biagi's or the Ancho and Agave.
No, Todd is one of the few successes. And he's an amazing success story coming out of Bloomington Normal. Yeah. So.
And that he's not a startup. So it's, if you're starting off, you have to start small. You know, even the concept of some of the shared kitchens I know have been kicked around. To get some people going. But it's one thing I've noticed around here when it comes to food. It's like it's always, you know, expanding, new restaurants coming in or people opening multiple locations. Mm-hmm. So even what's going on down here at the Circle, and then I think Pizza Pie just opened up a second location, and then Firehouse moved down and got smaller. So like you said, some people are divvying it up, but no shortage of food around here when it comes to quality of place.
No, it's a great thing. And then I just could go back just to finish out like that list. Office is the thing. Office is the unknown, right, in the real estate. You know, land development is picking up in our community. Investment properties, they're flying off the shelf. If you can get a multifamily apartment building or even a strip center, a retail strip center, they don't last on the market. But the office market is our opportunity zone, if you will. There's a lot of opportunity. We're seeing growth in the medical office area, but not the traditional standard office. We're still in that cycle of trying to figure out where everybody's going to fit.
Well, and one thing that I might point out is if you read the national news and you see articles about commercial real estate, it's doom and gloom, right? My gosh, the sky is falling. And a lot of that revolves around the office market in big cities, you know, these big office towers. We're not experiencing that here in Bloomington Normal. The commercial market as a whole is very active and very healthy. So, I have people asking me all the time, they read, national articles
Wall Street Journal,
what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I said, my crystal ball, I don't know what's going to necessarily happen, but I feel very confident in Bloomington Normal going forward over the next several years, because we are a strong market. Mm-hmm. The activity from small to mid-size users is excellent. So we have small business, which is really the lifeblood of our community, that are buying buildings, they're leasing buildings. We are turning real estate over. So we have, I think, about 70 listings right now. They're not the same 70 listings we had in January when we moved over, which is terrific.
There are a handful of those listings that we've had for maybe 10 years, but that would be more like the land listings and the, but most of the.
But it's moving.
Yeah, things are moving along.
So everything's relative. I use that term all the time, but whenever you're thinking about what's happening in Chicago, we have, I was up in that market doing economic development. And it was all pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, people stopped going into the city. And then so since they stopped going into the cities, the restaurants closed, and then they started working from the burbs, and the restaurants moved to the burbs. And so that's where some of those national stories are coming from. It's like, how do you get the people back downtown?
Right.
And they're like, I don't want to go downtown. I've got my Chipotle right here. So you guys, yours isn't even open yet. Where in our area, like you said, with 08, we didn't get hit as hard as everybody. We were ranked the top place to live post-pandemic for the same reasons. Like, the money stayed here. We might have ate out more. Like, I don't know. Right. I know that some of the sit-down restaurants got hurt, but if you looked at the line around Portillo's, it was insane. It's definitely an area that I think is going, my crystal ball, based off of economic modeling. So the main direct jobs are here. We're waiting on some of the indirect jobs from the suppliers, whether that's for Ferrero, for Rivian, even Brandt, and then the induced jobs. That's what you were talking about, Megan. It's like as people come in, you're going to get more, not just the restaurants, but the services, and which means more doctors and barbers and everything else. And our biggest challenge right now, which is not what you guys do, but is the homes. Like, if we don't get that high density residential, I couldn't imagine being a college kid right now and then graduating and finding a job. Where the heck are you going to live if you can't stay in the dorms anymore? So it's got to be somewhere in between.
Yeah, but this community, it's a shout out to everybody in this community. We power for each other, we're an incredible community from a from all aspects, the small business aspect, the big business aspect, the big businesses that are actually franchisees locally owned, yeah, that people assume are big businesses, but yet just have the big business name and they've put themselves out there. We rally behind our community. We have this amazing nonprofit part of the community, the wealth that's willing, that is here and then willing to be put out towards all of these organizations. I think this community has withstood those ups and downs because of just the amazing sense of actual community of, you know, and the desire to see everybody succeed. I mean, the small businesses, I mean, that is really, truly probably the our lifeblood of our, you know, who we work with. We've had the opportunity to work with the Rivians and the Ferreros, and we've done projects with all the major employers in town, ISU and State Farm and Country. But I mean, the majority of the people that we work with every day are that mom and pop startup, that, you know, that local doctor that's grown, you know, the dentist, the, you know, the chiropractor, the restaurateurs, these people who are truly, truly putting out their dreams and making it into a reality. Like our most recent one that's getting a lot of publicity is a cat cafe. So, you know, that one will be coming to market later this summer. And it's, you know, the gal is very excited, Lori Means, and she is so excited about this opportunity to bring this idea to the market, and the local people are supporting her.
These are really the clients that move my heart. Like, I love working with small business and micro businesses. So working with Lori was terrific. We had so much fun, and you know, it was a journey. It took us 3 tries to find the right location, you know, but it's been a wonderful journey, and I love working with small business owners. Yep. I really do.
Well, I mean, I think you mentioned earlier about how the small businesses are the backbone of the community, and it's like having a diversified stock portfolio. My fear, you know, whenever originally from Decatur doing it down there, we were manufacturing, a lot of manufacturers. Mm-hmm. We always joke like, yeah, Bloomington Normal is amazing, but if anything ever happened to insurance, like at the time, but now manufacturing is on the rise. Yeah. Insurance is still growing strong. And also ISU, seeing the reinvestment in education, which is surprising.
It's massive, but it's a massive impact, right?
And engineering students, yeah, it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, no, we've got great things going, and you know, I was looking up and to see, you know, the whole backbone of America being that entrepreneur or small business. And the statistics say like 64% to 65% of all jobs created in a community, yep, are from those, you know. And so, you know, they really, truly are. They truly are the backbone. I mean, we obviously love our big employers.
Yeah. But there's a reason. Like the multiplier is like for every one of those, there's like 3 other ones. And those are all those. Yeah. It's the indirect and induced that follow it. And yeah, before we go too far on, there is always the impact on the economy. And I can just say like, yeah, the commercial realtors are the original economic developers.
We like, feel that way.
our role at this level is literally to try to create the programs and the environment where people want to invest. But you guys are the ones. So when people are like, the prototypically think about what an economic developer does, they think that I'm on the phone all day calling people and that's all it takes. And it's like, no. We have to have a welcoming environment so when they get here that it is business friendly and they want to continue to invest and continue to tell that story. But you guys are the ones that are on the phone. You're the one that's at the conferences, bringing people back, doing the individual site selection, especially for those expansions. Yeah, we normally focus on like the major employers to make sure that everything stays cool in the state of Illinois for their purposes, because you know they can do business anywhere and there's other states hyper aggressive trying to recruit our bigger companies away. But then, yeah, you guys basically do everything else.
Well, you know, it's the day to day, right? Like that's our daily process, is talking to people and trying to bring people to the community. And we get somebody here and we take them on a tour and we show them all the highlights. But we count on those highlights being there.
Yeah.
Because once
yeah.
we get them there, we need to be able to produce, right? I have to be able to show you that this really is such a great community.
Yep.
I just told you how wonderful it was, so
yes.
let's go look.
And luckily right now, all the data is backing it up. And like you said, the people are what sell it. And I'm pretty sure that is the story of Rivian. It's like, you know, RJ getting in town and just talking to some of the people at the Coffee Hound and being like, this is a really amazing place.
And I think it's the language we use, the rhetoric that's being spoken. And, you know, it's really easy to be negative about things that are happening in our lives or in our community. But I think it's really important for us to speak that positive rhetoric into mm-hmm. into the community and into the prospects that are coming here, because there is always something that you can focus on negative in anything in life. But I feel like we really need to focus on the good things here, and we have so many good things here. We have so many opportunities, and you know, and so we're always selling all of the things. You know, all of those major employers are part of what wants to bring new business into this community, along with all the quality of place things like the breweries and the growth of the restaurants and the mom and pops. And maybe we don't have all the different chains. Maybe we don't have the Cheesecake Factory that everybody wants, but we have we have Epiphany Farms.
Yes, yes.
We have, you know, we have Rob Dobbs. Mm-hmm. We have Egg Republic. You know, we have these people who are not the chains.
Yes.
And they do it better.
Yeah. No, they there's whenever I brought my family down, because they were in Tinley, and said, hey, we're going back down south, and like, back to the corn. I'm like, there's more than corn in central Illinois. Immediately took them to Epiphany Farms, and they went in there, and I was like, no kidding, this steak is better than most of the steaks I've had in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely.
They fell in love with the place, and it's, I think that happens a lot. So great transition here. So if you do have somebody that is in town, not a business, but maybe it's just a family looking to locate here, like, what is the perfect day that you would take them around town, and what are you going to show them?
Well, I think Megan just mentioned some of the highlights for me, for sure. But, you know, I live in Hayworth, which is kind of a riot because it's actually smaller than my high school. That's where I grew up. But so I live in Hayworth, and Vogel Coffee is going gangbusters down there.
Nice.
And they have terrific coffee, and they have pastries, and they have ice cream. And it's wonderful to see a thriving business like that in a small outlying community, because mm-hmm. that just is an indicator of growth as a whole in the whole county, not just Implementation Normal. So we'd run by Vogel Coffee for sure to start. And honestly, I would have a tough time picking some of the eateries. I don't know how you cram it all in. They'd have to stay for a couple of days. Because, I mean, you have to go to Egg Republic. You have to go to Rob Dobbs. You have to go to Fort Jesse Cafe. Mm-hmm. There's so many good places to go. You have to go out to Marine View and do some kayaking.
Yes.
And,
yep.
Carl's for some ice cream. I don't know. Where else do you go?
Yeah, I think everybody that comes here, there's a different stage of life, right?
Yes.
And I've only been here 10 years now, and I think that my kids, you know, they were young when we moved here, now they're teenagers, and the different stages of life. But one of my favorite things, I love summer. Summer is my season. One of my favorite things is always to go to the Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they do the free little event on Tuesday and Saturday mornings, and you can go and you sit in the grass, and they do this really cute production, and the kids, it's very relaxed, and the kids enjoy it, and I just think it's a great introduction for young people to be able to go. It's non-threatening. It's fun. It's hot, but that's okay. It's also short. And then the festivals that we have, both Bloomington and Normal, both municipalities are doing so many great mm-hmm. events. The Sugar Creek Arts Festival and the Circus Corn Festival are favorites of mine. So I always think those are fun. Any of the music events, I mean, there's always music. If you
yes.
want to find music in this community, it's easy enough to, you know, look on Facebook or Google it or check on the, you know, the visitor's guide page to find out what's happening. There's
yep.
always something, and I love music. But, you know, the trail is one of our, I mean, it is truly an asset, mm-hmm. an amazing asset. We, in addition to the parks, of course, when the kids were young, I think we have something like 54 parks, individual parks in Bloomington Normal. You could go to a different park every day and not have,
yeah.
you know, throughout the summer. And so I think, you know, there's just a lot of opportunities for outdoor activities, or depending on what you're, you know, golf or rock climbing, bouldering, you know, I mean, we have so many actual activities to do here. Depending on your interest, or if you're a gamer, we have esports. There's literally things for everybody, in my opinion. And the Castle and the BCPA, mm-hmm. we've seen some amazing shows at both of those. Is that, you know, we've got the orchestra, and so I mean, I just think it really depends on people's interest level. There's so many different things, and then of course the eateries. I mean, we do really have great food, and
And the farmer's market.
Yeah, the farmer's market. Yep. That's, I got to throw that one in there because that's one whenever we ask the students.
You're down in the corn, right? You better have a good farmer's market.
Yeah. Ask the students, like, what do we need to keep you guys around? They're like, a farmer's market. I'm like, we have one.
We'll
go downtown.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the only thing that we need to add is some type of scuba diving aspect because that's one hobby you can't do.
Well, you know, you can't necessarily do it here in town. Although they do, the Wild Country has certifications.
Oh, okay.
And they basically do, like most places in the Midwest do, you get all your training in a pool.
Okay.
And they go to a rock quarry to do your checkout dives.
Oh.
And so, you know, yes, you can do scuba diving even in Central Illinois.
And then once you are certified, though, I know that Carl Olson over at the airport likes to brag that you can get up in the morning at 8 a.m. and be on a beach in Florida by noon.
Right. So,
yeah. There you go.
Great
and
place
that
to travel
is,
from.
I have to say, Laura and I both travel a lot. And if I have my druthers, I would never fly out any place other than Bloomington ever again in my life.
No.
And we actually left Bloomington in March to go to Nairobi, Kenya.
Nice.
And that's where we started our trip, and it made it so much better than having to drive to a major airport and park.
Or worse, drive home when you get back.
That is actually the worst part, is driving home. So
the free parking and maybe 15 minutes to get through.
With TSA pre-check, literally 3 minutes.
No, it's an amazing asset. And also, before we forget, I just want to let everybody know, and we'll put this in the show notes as well, but it's access360.co to go check you guys out and meet the team and also see what types of properties are available. And I know that the county has a new program out that helps pay for some lease. So if there's any entrepreneurs out there looking to, you know, looking for a space, I think that we can cover up to $10,000 of your rent. So hopefully that'll get some of these smaller spaces filled. But is there anything else that you guys wanted to cover while I had you on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, this is great. We
appreciate
you.
Everything you guys do. Love seeing. I like to eat. So yeah. bring on the more food. Bring on more breweries. And like I said, like, you guys are the original economic developers. Every community has commercial. Without the commercial, none of it matters. I have no properties to sell, and it makes for the quality of place, which is so important. Which is why people want to live here. Again, now we need the home. So all you home developers, come in. So we can try to retain some of those dollars, because right now I know how far that they're driving in order to work here.
Right.
And Morton and everyone else around us is definitely benefiting from the growth here. So hopefully we'll keep this economy spinning. Thanks to you guys.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for everything you do.
Tune in next week as we continue to take an inside look at Bloomington Normal's economic development with industry pros, local businesses, and community partners, and learn more about our BN Advantage.